Happy Easter. Stuart and Jodie here at Carey Baptist Church here in Moulton. The Lord is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. We won't be able to shout that in church, but you can shout it back to me as you listen now. So, the Lord is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. There you go. Let's commit this time in prayer to God, first of all. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we greet you, risen from the grave and alive in our world. We give you praise that through your self-giving love, evil has been conquered and death defeated. We give you thanks that by your Spirit, you have given us new life and set your hope in our hearts. Radiant Lord, fill us with that same love and grant us grace to live the life of new creation as we seek to worship you, our Lord and our God. Father, on this Easter Sunday, we pray that your Holy Spirit would fill us with your Easter joy and your peace. We pray this for everyone listening online. In Jesus' name, amen. I should have mentioned at the beginning that it is the first Sunday of the month, and we usually celebrate communion on the first Sunday of the month, and we're going to be celebrating communion together here as part of this worship. So if you don't have some bread and wine or liquid equivalent, then press pause and go and get some if you want to participate in that way. We'll now listen to the reading, and it's the Gospel of Mark, chapter 16, verses 1 to 8. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 16, 1 to 8.
When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb and asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You're looking for Jesus, the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter. He is going ahead of you into Galilee, and there you will see him, just as he told you." Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb, and they said nothing to anyone, because they were afraid.
Thank you, Jodie. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the writer of the Gospel of Mark and for this recording of those first witnesses to the resurrection. May their story resonate with ours, and may your Spirit take these words of Scripture and take the words that I say and bring your resurrection life to those who are listening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Most scholars would say that Mark is the earliest of the four Gospels and that it ends at verse 8 of chapter 16, and that the verses that follow subsequently in verses 9 to 20 are a much later addition to cover up or to tidy up the puzzling ending that we had in that Gospel reading in verse 8, which reads, "Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid." What a strange way to end the gospel. Perhaps there was another ending which got lost. Who knows? If they said nothing, how did anyone get to hear about the resurrection? We know from the beginning of Acts chapter 1, verse 3, where it says, After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. So he appeared to them many times over 40 days from his crucifixion and his resurrection through to his ascension into heaven. And he needed to repeat, to reaffirm to them time and time again that he was alive. They didn't always get it, and they needed to be reaffirmed and recommitted to their relationship with him. As the first witnesses, these women disciples to the resurrection were in shock, trembling, and bewildered, or in terror and amazement, as the New Revised Standard Version translated. That rings true. How would you feel if you were going to a tomb, worrying about rolling the big heavy stone away from the entrance to gain access to be able to anoint and prepare the body for burial? And you get there to find that the stone has already been rolled away. And then you enter the tomb and you see an angel, which scares you witless, to put it politely. It says in the reading that they were alarmed. That's perhaps an understatement. And the angel, it says young man in white, probably an angel, tells them not to be alarmed and says this to them. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You're looking for Jesus, the Nazarene who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they have laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter. He is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will find him. There you will see him, just as he told you." So they're given this message. The women are given this message to take back to Peter and the disciples. It's interesting it says Peter and the disciples. Peter, who just previously has denied Jesus three times, is given the opportunity to be reinstated here, and he wants to bring this good news to Peter especially and to the other disciples. But we can see that their reaction to it, they're bamboozled by it all. As it says, trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. I think that later on, the women found their voices. And after the shock of it all, it turned into joy when it finally sunk in that Jesus was not dead, but alive forevermore. Not a resuscitated corpse like Lazarus, who would die again, but one who had defeated death itself and come out the other side of it. I think this journey from shock to joy has a lot to teach us today in the circumstances we find ourselves in, slowly coming out from the midst of this pandemic. I think many of us are still in shock as a result of this past year. We have lost loved ones, family and friends, and have not been able to say goodbye properly with full funerals, wakes, and celebrations. I think many of us are suffering from constipated grief, and in the coming months and years, this will be a major mental health problem for the whole of our society that we will all need to face up to and to process and to work through. The journey from the sadness of grief to the joy of resurrection is not always an easy or a quick process. For many, they will only experience it in a real way at their own deaths. Their losses of loved ones, of their own health, has robbed them of joy in the present. I'm reluctant to scold fellow believers who find themselves in this position. Will it help to tell people to be joyful because Jesus has risen from the dead and death is now defeated? Does depression and grief dissipate so easily? I think not. But I do believe we can get glimpses of resurrection even now in the midst of sorrow. We can't plan for or control resurrection. But it happens. It surprises us, as it did the first women disciples. For me, the little things in life speak to me of resurrection. Watching the robin having a bath in our bird bath as I wash the dishes and see him through the window and feel a sense of peace and stillness after a difficult day. Having a tasty chili con carne that revives my spirits and brings me joy. Or just little acts when someone remembers you, when they send you a card or a gift. All these things revive our spirits. Resurrection is all around if only we have eyes to see. On this Easter Sunday, as we ponder the journey of these first disciples from shock to joy, we are also invited to make that journey from shock to joy, a joy that will embrace all people and all things. As St. Paul writes about this in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 20 to 28. But Christ indeed has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead also comes through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. But each in turn, Christ the first fruits, and then when he comes, those who belong to him. Then the end will come when he hands over the kingdom to God the Father, after he has destroyed all dominion, authority, and power. He must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. For he has put everything under his feet. Now, when it says that everything has been put under him, it is clear this does not include God himself, who put everything under Christ. And when he has done this, then the Son himself will be made subject to him who put everything under him, so that God may be all in all. This is what Jesus' resurrection has done and will do. And if that doesn't bring us joy, or at least some encouragement in the midst of a pandemic, I don't know what will. Let us pray. Father God, we give you thanks that in your Son, Jesus, you have defeated death and that you open the door of eternal life to us all. Help us to enter through that door even this day and to anticipate and experience in our lives the joy of the resurrection, which one day we will experience in all its fullness, in all your glory, where you will be all in all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. we're now going to move into a period of celebrating communion. But this is an Easter communion where we celebrate with the presence of the risen Christ amongst us. So may his joy infuse our celebration of communion together. So the risen Christ says to you and to me and to us all, come to this table, not because you must, but because you may. Not because you're strong, but because you're weak. Come not because any goodness of your own gives you a right to come, but because you need mercy and help. Come because you love the Lord a little and would like to love him more. Come because he loved you and gave himself for you. Come and meet the risen Christ, for we are his body. I am the bread of life, Jesus told them. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. When Jesus rose again, he appeared to the disciples and said to them, receive my peace. We now recognize that Christ is our peace. He has reconciled us to God in one body by the cross. We meet in his name and share his peace. So let's share a sign of peace with each other, even though we can't see each other. May the peace of the Lord be with you. May the peace of the risen Christ be with you. May you experience his peace today. Amen. We listen now to the story of the Last Supper, which in liturgical time happened on Thursday, but in real time happens anytime we celebrate together. The Apostle Paul tells us of the institution of the Lord's Supper. For the tradition which I handed on to you came to me from the Lord himself, that on the night of his arrest, the Lord Jesus took some bread. And after giving thanks to God, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in memory of me. In the same way, he took the cup after supper and said, this cup is a new covenant sealed by my blood. Whenever you drink it, do this in memory of me. For every time you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the death of the Lord until he comes. And as Jesus gave thanks for the bread and the wine, we likewise do the same. Father God, on this Easter Sunday, where we remember and celebrate the resurrection, we give you thanks for Jesus, for his life of love and service and healing. We thank you that he was prepared to go to the cross that we might be reconciled to you. And we thank you on this Easter day that he did not remain and decompose in the grave, but you raised him to life. And now he is alive and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit. Father God, on this Easter day, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us afresh, that we may experience a glimpse of that Easter joy which awaits us in all its fullness, in your future of your new heaven and new earth. May your kingdom come even a bit more today in our lives and through us as you pour out your spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Jesus took the bread and he broke it and he said, this is my body, which is for you. So take your bread, break it and share it with each other. Judy, the body of Christ broken for you.
Body of Christ broken for you.
Amen. Then Jesus took the cup and he said, "This cup is a new covenant sealed with my blood. Whenever you drink this, do so in memory of me." So take your wine, take your drink, and drink it up and remember that Christ's blood was shed for you, and be thankful. Judy, the body of Christ shed for you, blood of Christ shed for you. Let us pray. Most gracious God, we praise you for what you have given and for what you have promised us here. You have made us one with all your people in heaven and on earth. You have fed us with the bread of life and renewed us for your service. Now we give ourselves to you and we ask that our daily living may be part of the life of your kingdom, and that our love may be your love reaching out into the life of the world. We ask this through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. As we are gathered around the table, it's good to bring our prayers for other people. So let us pray. Living Lord, you came to one who was overwhelmed by grief and said, "Why are you weeping?" We pray for all who are sorrowful and experiencing the pain of loss. We pray for all those, especially this year, who have lost loved ones or are feeling the loss of their own liberty and freedom and ability to go out and to enjoy themselves in the fullness of their social existence. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Living Lord, you came to those who were fearful and without hope and said, "Peace be with you." We pray for all those who face anxiety and dejection. Lord, we know that there is a lot of mental health problems at the moment. A lot of people are anxious, are worried about the future, with economic worries, with worries about their health. And we pray for them that you would bring your comfort and your peace. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Living Lord, you came to one who denied you and said, "Feed my sheep." We pray for all those who have little confidence in their own ability to serve you faithfully. We pray for ourselves, Lord, that you would give us strength and courage in these difficult times. Especially pray for those who are anxious as they begin to take first steps out again after lockdown and being shielded, as they worry about social distancing and interaction with people and concerned about their own safety and the safety of others. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, we pray for the wider world. We pray for the people in Israel, Palestine, the place of Jesus' birth and Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection. We thank you that for the Israeli population, they are doing the best in the world with their rollout of the corona vaccine. And we pray for the Palestinians in that situation who aren't receiving the same coverage. We pray for justice and for their immunization too, because we know that unless everyone is vaccinated in that region, in that area, then none of them will be safe. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father, we think of the people in Taiwan after the train crash. We pray for those who are mourning loved ones who have died. We pray for those who are still injured in that situation. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father, we pray for the situation in Tigray in northern Ethiopia, for the conflict that's ongoing there. We pray for peace and for reconciliation. We pray for the government as they respond to a lot of the atrocities that have happened in recent months. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And in a moment of quiet, we bring our own needs and situations to you, Lord. We remember people that we can't name out loud, but that are on our hearts and our minds. Lord, we offer you all these prayers, the prayers said out loud and the prayers whispered in the silence of our hearts. And we join them together in the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. And close with a blessing. Lord of life, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, a door has cracked open, and your new creation has been set loose in our world. By your Spirit, enable us this day to participate in his dying and rising, and so share the life of Christ with all whom we meet. Amen. And may the blessing of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with us all this day and always. Amen. Thank you for joining with us, and I wish you a very blessed Easter Sunday and Easter season. May you know the joy of Christ in your festivities and celebrations in your homes and in your lives. And hopefully see you in the future online. Go well and God bless.